Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water. Getting our nose right in there and having a good sniff around the Monday Scrum.
Yes, Monday Scrum once again. Adam Peacock alongside Brent Reed from the Daily Telegraph and,
how are you?
And NRL 360. Good, mate. Yourself?
Great to be here. Great weekend of footy again.
You're just happy that Woodsy's not here.
Where is Woodsy? Is he still
just too good
Zealand
for us? Just too good for us.
Oh, he's back in first grade.
Yeah,
now.
That's so it. Like he's moved, you know, on
13
yeah.
minutes and just
the media
his
career
mind.
Is on pause back on for a crack at first grade.
Yeah,
so
good on him. Good on him.
I'm going to dip in him in it because he thought we were on at a later time. He's in for another Triple M product a bit later on. I think he's on Drive in Sydney. And he got his times mixed up. He was actually contributing to the talk points on this show and then didn't realise he couldn't make the show.
Can I defend him? We have done a couple of 2 p.m. starts of late, in his defence.
Yeah.
So I can understand why he got confused. But it was clear
it was
in the messages that it was 1 p.m. this week.
Hopefully.
So that Woods has let himself down. He's let up. You know what? More importantly, he's let us down.
Yeah, he has. Because we wanted to grill him,
yeah,
you know, provide valuable insight into.
I wanted to ask him pointedly, how the F can you lose a game when 22-14 up with a minute and 5 seconds left?
Mate.
Anyway, or not win it, well, I should say. Not
can I say just quickly on Woodsy, though, this is his second black mark because he still hasn't taken us to Mr. Wong's.
What are you going to do on a
black
third?
Mark. Three of them, I think he's out. I think we'll get someone else in.
Okay.
We'll find someone.
Suggesting who?
I don't know. I'll give it some thought.
I reckon. We'll put a campaign in for someone else, dude. That's going to be consistent.
Dude,
that's not playing anymore. We can't have a current player. They're unreliable.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Their priorities are just out of sync. So, but just on that Manly game, when you look back at it, you're right. How did they lose that game? And also the intercept try just before halftime.
Yeah.
Like if you're Anthony Seibold, there's so much to like about Manly at the moment. And they beat Penrith, but they are the most patchiest team.
They've thrown some games away. They should have beaten Para.
Mate, they were all. It was after 20 minutes in that Para game. It was one way traffic, and they just. I don't know what it is. Whether they just think it's over, they don't have to concentrate anymore. But it must be so pleasing, but yes, so frustrating.
Yeah. That was the same more self-inflicted. On
the weekend. Because the same message would be coming. Each lads, just
they switched.
Yeah,
on. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So away it goes. Woods, you're going to win this weekend.
Hopefully it doesn't come back to bite them in late August, right? Because that's when, you know, every win counts.
They got Titans sort of teams. Next weekend. Titans.
Des has the cup.
We're better. Ooh. Yeah.
The Desi good's cup. That? It'll be a good week this week with Desi.
Is that at Brookvale?
No.
It's on the Gold Coast.
It's on the Goldie. Saturday, Arvo, 5:30 a.m.
Yeah.
Speaking of Des, he and Ricky, after an enthralling finish to the weekend of rugby league down there in Canberra, the Raiders get it done in Golden Point. And then two coaches with two different opinions, shall be said, in the press conferences.
I thought the refereeing performance was pretty poor. I think a lopsided penalty count, particularly in the area of 10-6 against a 1. So it was heartbreaking.
He's on another planet, mate. If he's critical of the 6 against and the penalties, he's on another planet. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to be making sure I ring Jared tomorrow to find out who's right or wrong there.
And that call has probably taken place. Rudy, you might have an update. Producer Charlie, you cut out the start
F-bomb.
Of Ricky's answer there. I don't know if he's got a case to answer there. But
Well, I checked with the NRL today, Adam. I don't think any fines will come out of either of those press conferences. They didn't cross the threshold. So,
Des reading his comments and listening to him as well, that it wasn't quite refs a cheat.
No.
It was disappointed in the refs' performance. Yeah. More to
but
the
it was
point.
Interesting, right? They're two of the great characters in our game, those two blokes. Great. Different characters, right? Ricky's very fiery and aggressive, and Des is more of your subtle mind game sort of guy, right? Even in press conferences, Des is more of your. Ricky's very blunt, straight to the
playing,
point.
Yeah, playing into
Des
the point.
More, you know,
well, there was that time that he called certain people in the game Voldemorts. So.
Oh, yeah. That was Des.
But that was calculated.
Yeah, that's
calculated.
Yeah, but that wasn't hidden.
No,
that was encrypted.
Yes.
And it was like a level of intelligence.
Yeah.
It wasn't. Like call, this is BS. You can't speak about them. It's like, now I'm going to use a metaphor.
Yeah, whilst Ricky would just come out and go at them.
I was really disappointed because why is Des watching those movies?
Yeah.
Like, and to know it to that context.
Yeah.
Like,
that was, you were there then?
Yeah.
Like, Des does look like a guy who gets into those kind of movies, though.
He's a bit like the centre,
Harry Potter, though.
Yeah, it's strange. Yeah. I'm with you, Jimmy.
It's not. Is he the demographic?
No, he's not the target audience at all.
Maybe he read the books first and wanted to see what the movie was like.
I'd love to see him, like, you know, have you ever been on a night out and you walk past a bookstore and you see them queuing up for the book?
Mm.
I reckon Des is one. Right? Yeah. Like, you know, they queue up for the iPhone. Yeah, they actually legit get up in fancy dress, Harry Potter books.
I wonder if Des lined up for Star Wars when it came out with lightsabers and everything like that.
I could see him definitely.
Anyway, we're getting off track.
Completely gone off track.
Back to what they were talking about. Where's the truth lie?
Well, somewhere in the middle, probably. Mm. I mean, I don't think there's any great history between. I mean, they've coached against each other for a long time, and Des has got a great record against Ricky, I think, from memory. We did a thing the other week on great coaching records that coaches got over each other, and we featured that one because I think Des has got a really good record against Rick. But I don't think there's any particular great history or feud that they've had over the years. But I just think, obviously, Desi's the master of deflection, and they've lost another game and they played really well. Well compared to how they played this year. Mm. They've showed a lot of heart, a lot of fight. I think Desi's just gone in there and probably gone into battle for his troops.
Yeah, most definitely. And that little bit of like, well, we should have won.
Yeah.
So Ricky's point was that Des employed tactics which tried to slow the hell down, slow the ruck down to snail's pace, basically. Hands all over the ball, lying all over. And Ricky's point was, well, 10-1, they got away with it in terms of
It was only 8-1 too, by the way.
It was only 8-1, wasn't it?
Des embellished it slightly.
To 10, put a tax on it. Yeah. But Ricky was saying, well, it should have been more.
It's the key.
As such. So totally apart in their way that the game was reffed and thought about. But I think you're right. The Titans walk away from that going, oh, we got close, but we should have got more out of that. Rather than, oh, we got close, we're on the way up.
Yeah.
For me, I think I heard Des speak about it, not checking the foreign charge down field goal.
Mm.
Like, I think he was annoyed at that as well, and I'd need to watch it.
It's too hard to tell because you don't get the full view. I had a quick look at it, and you kind of, the camera cuts at the right time, wrong time, and they'll have a look at it.
Yeah, the bunker would have the... The
wider camera. Jimmy, you know better than me, because I was listening to this on radio, and they obviously, I think the stats were they had 54 tackles. Canberra had 54 tackles in the Titans 20, right?
Yeah.
Mm. And what Des is renowned for or builds his sides around is defensive resilience, right? And he always said this would take some time. Well, we're 6-5 games in now, and it looks as though maybe the penny dropped on the weekend. Yeah. Do you think that's what Des wanted to see from his side. Maybe now he's seen it. Perhaps they have turned the corner, or do you think that's a bit premature?
I think defensively it helps, but they've still got a long way to go.
Mm.
Like a long way to go.
They did the amount of ball that Canberra had, made them look, make you think, gee, Canberra, a bit average in inside 20 attack-wise. Yeah. They don't have it much variation. They're just waiting for a Fogarty kick. Yeah. That's about it.
Yeah. So... Look, while it's a sign of improvement, like you say, Canberra didn't throw a lot at them. They didn't ask too many questions. They just really worked them over and taxed them like with their conditioning.
Mm.
And it was great to see Titans hold out, because I think that's Canberra. They're going to fatigue them into a mistake and fatigue them into a try. They didn't do that, so they didn't fall into that trap or be succumbed by it. But the Titans have got a long way to go, like a long way to go.
It was nice to see, though, a game almost decided, like they didn't end up with the result. But they did. They tried something different. A bit of talk on the weekend about the two golden point periods, and it was the same in Titans. That Canberra's Manly Warriors, very safe. Let's get into field goal position, brings up the whole point of golden try. But to get themselves to that point, Brian Kelly just decided to, as a left centre, just come into the middle and play off the hip of Kieran. Just mix something up. Just try a little bit of variety and attack rather than running the same shape all the time.
He's one of those blokes, Brian Kelly, I find immensely frustrating, because he can do some magic things.
Yeah.
And then he has games where you go, what is this bloke doing in first grade?
Hmm.
And last night was obviously one of those nights where he played really well. And
what about that kick?
I know.
Yeah. Well, we were watching. We went for a few drinks after the...
I heard
the Dragons Tigers game, and we were watching it, and obviously with Gordon Tallis, who's got an affiliation with the Titans, and we saw Brian Kelly go over to kick it, And we thought, and everyone just goes, oh, turn it off.
Yeah. Well, Maroon was bagging him senseless on Triple M. He lost 36 prawn cutlets or something on that kick.
Well, it was the untraditional flight path as well.
Yeah.
The fade.
It was the nice little gentle fade, John Rahm style, rather than the big hook. But, it puts Canberra, and you'd say on effort and effort alone, and obviously they've got a few more layers to add, like we were saying, in attack, inside 20, but they're up to third, and they haven't had a bye yet. The two teams above them have had a bye in the Sharks and the Storm. So they're on, 4-2 at the moment, the Raiders. But Sharks on top. I looked at that this morning. I went, what?
They do that to you, the Sharks.
Yeah.
They just win the games they're supposed to win.
The bye does that to you as well.
Yeah.
Kind of confuses the matter.
The win percentage with the bye.
Yeah.
It's a bit.
But they've surprised me, Canberra. They weren't my eight at the start of the year. And
Ricky would love to hear that as well.
Yeah.
Just another thing some of those put up kids on the wall.
Chevy Stewart played on the weekend. Obviously, he's handled himself pretty well from what I understand. Ethan Strange has been, he's a lay down Mazaire at the moment for rookie of the year. So they've just had some kids
Morgan
have come
Smithy's come over
been
as well
that
nobody really wasn't on anyone's radar.
Been great.
Been outstanding. His work rate yesterday, him and Joey Tarpany were absolutely phenomenal for 89 minutes. Yep.
So they just got to keep it going though.
It's a long season and the phrase false economy can be thrown around and it probably is a little bit at the moment with the teams at the top and obviously the bye, but you've got to give credit to the Raiders for, being in that position they were last year. They got into the eight with more losses than wins, but they've gone away. And I think Ricky's drove that narrative of, look, no one's given us a chance here. He's got buy-in from his players. He's got belief in his players. They lose Jack Whiten, their favourite son, and they've got a team that are playing for one another. They have a pretty simple game plan from what I've witnessed of them.
I was going to say that, like when it gets a bit slippery as well, James, so gets to May, June, July, especially down there if they play night games, but even up in Sydney, it's a pretty effective game plan when things in night games get a bit slippy.
Yeah, it is. They're very simplistic, through the middle, high percentage stuff.
Good kicking game.
Yeah, and it's just, it's simple and if they can keep applying themselves, because it's very difficult. It sounds simple, but it's bloody hard to do, and it's taxing.
Yeah.
If they can keep going, they'll make the eight.
Well, they should be good through Origin as well. I'm just trying to think. Papali, I can't remember.
I think he retired.
He retired. Right. So I don't think we'll have any Origin players.
Maybe Hudson Young might.
Maybe Hudson Young. Yeah.
Sneak in again.
So they'll go well through the Origin period as well.
Well, speaking of backing up, it's down the bottom of the rundown, but I'll flip it to the top. Benji Marshall said that yesterday after, and you were in the press conference already, weren't you, out at Campbelltown. He said of the West Tigers, look, it's actually hard. You can prepare all you want through the week. You find out pretty quickly in an NRL game, if your effort isn't quite there matching your application and all of that, you get found out. And it's not that easy to back up week after week and try and be consistent in those effort areas, even though we can sit on the sideline, Jimmy, and go, oh, geez, they've only got to play once a week. They should be able to back up. It's a bit different when you're actually in it.
Yeah, it really is. And it's, and Benji is a first-time coach, is still learning that. And even things in and around training, what you can do to prepare your teams after a win, prepare your teams after a loss, does that change? Do you always keep the same process? The intensity of the training sessions, all this, but for me, the Tigers yesterday, that their attack was really poor.
What was missing?
Lucky Galvin.
Yeah,
he's back straight in.
18-year-old. It's amazing to think they're missing an 18-year-old.
Yeah, he's become that important already.
Yeah,
I think. The Jerome Bula really couldn't get into the game. There was no plays to design, and for me, Jack Baird goes off with a category one. The Dragons were trying to overturn it. They couldn't. So they move Eisenhuth. He was defending at three in defender in the centres. And I think Ben Hunt actually swapped with him. But if you've got Jerome Bula, all you need to do, like throw the effort. You bring your effort, whatever. But just play with some smarts. Set up to the opposite side of the field. And put some shape at Eisenhuth.
Yeah.
Like, and you'll get joy. They did it once. They scored.
Yeah, late on.
And it's like, well, yeah. And then they got out-competed a little bit by Lomax. So, you know, Lomax one-on-one with Bula, got the jump on him a couple of times. The Dragons bombed an opportunity. There was one where no one was in the vicinity of him. There was another one where he gets the ball to Ben Hunt, and Ben Hunt drops it. So they left a couple of tries out there, the Dragons. But for me, people will look at it and go, well, it's Bula v Lomax. There's not much you can do. Well, there is. I know for the teams that I've played with, your job's not done until you've got the ball back defensively. So that might be the kick pressure. That might be running back to help him out. Because if you know, if you see Lomax do that, like I'm looking at it going, well, if Bula can't get there, I'm going to be there to get the second ball. I'm getting the scraps because otherwise we're going to concede. Kyle Flanagan was the only player next to him. There was no West Tigers player that had the foresight to go, well, Bula's going to get out-jumped by Lomax because it's happened before, so I'm going to get there. Or I'm going to make Kyle Flanagan's run harder. Now, I know we've got escort rules and stuff like that, but you'd rather concede a penalty than concede the 4 points.
And that's the thing, and that's kind of what Benji was alluding to, I think, Reedy, wasn't it? Those effort areas, that competitive edge that you need, require hardened competitive edge. He knows that sometimes he's got it with his team, but he just can't rely consistently on it.
I think it reinforced how big a job it is, right? Because they've had a really promising start to the year, but that club's had a losing culture for a long, long time, and you can't just change that in one off season. That's going to take time. So there's going to be games this year where they're going to be really good, and there's going to be games where they slip back into old habits, like they did on Sunday, and everyone walks away disappointed. And I think, you know, Benji knows that. He spoke about it in the press comments afterwards, obviously. So, you know, I think probably a lot of people got, I wouldn't say carried away, probably a lot of Tigers fans got a bit prematurely excited about how good this season is going to be. I still think they're going to be up and down all year, probably.
Which is fair enough, given that I think the Para game did that to them as well, because by rights on another day or in another year, Tigers get beaten by 12, 16 that day. And they pull one out and win it in dramatic circumstances.
You know, obviously, like Bud Sullivan, Lachie Evans has been really good at six, really steady. And Bud Sullivan again at the weekend, he's just struggled to put his imprint on a game ever since he's been there. I don't know, what are we, six games in or whatever. But even when he was at the Dragons, in terms of just putting his stamp on a footy game, he's had flashes of it. And there were little flashes of it again on Sunday, and he was the one who passed to, I can't remember who it was, Kapoa. It was his pass to Kapoa, but that was one of the few highlights he had in that game. And it felt like a game where, you know, I think in the opening 20, he ran the ball five times, but then he just disappeared out the game and couldn't make an impact. And that felt like one of those games when he had an opportunity to step up and he wasn't able to do it.
Flanner was happy after the game, wasn't
he? He was very happy, yeah.
Is it like I watched that press conference and you're trying to guide him down the path of give us something on Zach Lomax and whether or not he might play centre next week because Jack Bird might be, you know, after all.
Even that little joke about Woodsy beforehand, maybe that didn't go to air.
Yeah.
Gave it to Woodsy.
We'll leave it out because Woodsy's not here.
No.
Because he can't read the time. but he looks pretty comfortable where he's at. He knows exactly where his side's at, and he wasn't over the moon with the performance, but he was still cracking jokes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was a really impressive performance. And again, Zach Lomax outstanding for them, but he wasn't the only one. Kyle's going great at six for them. Jaden Sewell was outstanding in the back row. But again, they're going to be a side that they're going to be up and down, I think, all year as well. And Flano sort of knows that. So when he gets a performance like that out of them, he doesn't turn around and say, we've turned the corner. It's all happy days. Now, he knows there's going to be moments where they're going to have off days. But, as long as they're putting the effort in like that, and they just out-enthused them completely on Sunday.
I thought Little played outstanding. Well at dummy half.
100th, was he 100th
game? Yeah, 100th game, what did Flano say about Zach moving into the centres with Jack Baird?
He said a giggle, didn't he?
Yeah, he's just sort of a laugh about it, really. So he's going good on the wing, isn't he? outstanding on the wing. Well,
he's
he?
Adamant that Jack will be right to play next week because he was.
Oh, they're going to get it down. They're going to get it over.
No, I don't think he can. I checked this after Jack. You know, Jack. He's a bit mad, right? I saw him on the field after the game.
Mm.
I was just chatting to him. And I said, "He going, mate? I'm good as gold, you know." I said, "Did you pass your HIA?" He said, "Yeah, I passed my HIA. No problem at all." Then we're in the press conference. I said to Flano, "Are you going to try and overturn it?" Because Jack said he passed his HIA, and Flano said he didn't pass his HIA.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They can't get overturned.
He also did point out that he's hardly ever in his life passed a test. So, yeah, maybe his driving test. I'm not sure.
He's a good fella, Jack, but he is, I don't know. I think you take what he says with a grain of salt. He's one of the great blokes.
That was the line of questioning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be ironic after all of this and Zach Lomax not happy about playing on the wing, which...
He's going so good on the wing.
Current form.
So good. He's the best. At the moment, he's the best winger in the comp.
Sky blue jumper.
Would you move him? I don't think I would.
You reckon he's playing better than Xavier Coates?
Oh, it's line ball. Struck match between them, don't you think? No, you think Coates is killing him? Okay, mate, if he's not the best, second best.
It's your own question.
He's on the podium.
You're allowed
Jimmy.
To.
He's on the podium.
Yeah. He's playing really well. He is playing really
well. He's the best New South Wales winger in the comp. How's that at the moment?
Ooh. In form?
Yeah, in form.
Okay. I'll take that.
Yeah, okay.
He's been in the news a bit, so yeah, he's kind of put himself out there.
Credit to him, to be fair.
Yeah.
Like,
but the way he's handling himself is really, really impressive.
Can I be honest? It's pleasantly surprised me.
Yeah.
I was not expecting this. Like, I think most people, we've seen situations like this play out before.
Well, you would have seen teammates drop their lollies.
I've been I know Zach. He's been a teammate of mine. And I thought we would see someone that would go into their shell and just do enough. I didn't think we'd see him go above and beyond, which is what he's doing.
Yeah. Deserves a real pat in the back.
He does.
He's got a fair incentive when you think about it, given that he hasn't actually agreed to a figure
They've agreed a figure.
They have?
Yeah.
Well, it might be kind of each time they have the conversation, it's an easier conversation for Jack to have.
He's agreed to take a little haircut. We'll have to see whether the NRL approves that or not.
Okay. Yeah. Wait and see with that one. Dave Clemmer avoided suspension and the sin bin for that hit.
Yeah.
There's
some Dragons who weren't happy about that.
On another day, he was the one that it looked like he was the one that bear the full front of the, like in his face.
He swore, spoke to him after the game, just chatting to him. He swore he didn't get him in the head. Mm. And I said to him, was it a head clash? He said, no, my head didn't hit him either. Well, Kyle Flanagan was vehement that he'd been caught. If the referees have ruled that's head contact and he's been charged, based on what we've seen this year, he probably should have been binned.
Yeah. And a lot of it goes down to the player's reaction.
Yep.
We're seeing that in any head contact, any resemblance of a hip drop style tackle, any resemblance of kick pressure, we're starting to see what happens to the player. So if a player is under kick pressure and falls over, they generally get a penalty. If a player is the victim of a hip drop tackle and they stay down, we generally see action. If you same with head high. If Kyle Flanagan or Zach Lomax stay down, Clemmer's probably in the bin.
Well, Kyle said that I got straight back up because I didn't want to have to go off for HIA.
Yeah.
So, he was wary of staying down in case the bunker said, mate, you're off. And probably, you're right, probably helped Dave avoid the sin bin.
Yeah.
So, it's a bit all over the shop at the moment, that stuff.
It is absolutely over the shop. Let's have a wider view of the weekend, shall we?
Now, the WTF moment.
We'll mention some footy nominations shortly, but I think, Reedy, you're going to go a bit wider.
Mate, this time last year, I was at Augusta National, soaking it up.
Brent.
And I tuned in this morning and I saw poor old Tiger Woods. He was in the first group of the day. Battling, he was just struggling.
It was very relatable.
Battling.
Relatable golf. That's
what
it was.
I think he finished last, is that right? Of those who made the cut.
Of those who made the cut, there. I think he was down there. Stone motherless, yeah.
I don't 60th. I don't know how many more he's got in him, Tiger.
He can't walk.
Yeah, I know.
Properly.
First day looked all right.
Flipping around.
And as the week, the 4 days goes on, he just
16
disintegrates.
Over
16 overall. Over. Mm. He still produces some moments, though.
He does.
I tell you what, the gallery still flock to watch him. It's unbelievable.
So, Reed, did you go into the draw to actually play?
I did, yeah.
And no
I
good?
Missed out. Darren Walton got pulled out.
Oh, Wally Walton. He deserves it. He loves it. Yeah. So, What about this one though? That they have a draw for the media, Jimmy.
Yeah.
After the last day, on the Monday, they open up like 4 or 5 tea times, so like 20 people can play or whatever.
It's more than that. I think it's like 30 or something.
A little more, yeah. There's hundreds and hundreds of media there, but you all go into a draw and your name gets drawn out. And yeah, Darren Walton from AFL.
You get driven down Magnolia Lane. I drove him down Magnolia Lane. His caddy was waiting for him.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a caddy waiting for him. And he went into the champions locker room and got a bacon and egg roll and a coffee and off he went and played 18 goals.
Yeah. What about this though? It's on social media. Congratulations. It says this, it's a post from Robbie Thomas. Golfers, grit your teeth and try to muster your most sincere congratulations for WIS TV's Julia W. She's just learned she's been selected to play a round of golf at Augusta National on Monday. It will be the first round of golf she's ever played.
Oh, wow. Imagine the divots, shall we?
Oh. Could you imagine some of the old timers who have never got, they've been in that draw 40 times.
Mm. She should sell that.
Play fit.
Auction that off in the media room.
I don't think you can.
You probably can't. They wouldn't take kindly to that.
I think you get invited back. So, yeah, it's a place of rules.
I remember you saying that no phones on the courses.
No phones.
Brilliant.
If they see you with their phone, you get chucked off the course.
Is your house like that?
No running?
You tell your kids.
If you run, you get told to.
Yeah. No run.
No running, not allowed to run.
At what stage does a walk become a run?
Well, the start of every day.
So
when both feet are off the ground at once.
Well, the start
that's
of every
the definition of.
So, you know, the walking that happens at the Olympics, have they got like spotters there? Oh, flag. Yeah, that's technically a run.
But, Jimmy, the start of every day, everyone queues up to get in, and a lot of them got their chairs, and they race off to find a seat round a green they want to sit at. They put their chair down. Your chair stays there all day. No one can move it. Generally got a little name tag in the back. Someone can sit in your chair, but the minute you come back to your chair, they've got to get up and move.
Very civilised.
It's unbelievable.
Well,
and everyone obeys the rules. Everyone obeys the rules.
One of the rules I have is don't follow stupid rules.
Yeah.
So I'd just be going.
You wouldn't go well at Augusta.
I'm on the jog. My old coach used to blow up at me for walking to water, so I'm going to run.
Guess what?
Yeah.
Is that
your whole experience would last about 3 minutes at Augusta National. It's a long way to go.
Hey, I'll get the Millwall hammer out if the security come for me. I'd just be there with Matt. Sorry, guys, just give me a moment. Let me just roll this up.
So, listeners, our friend here, James Graham, in the last couple of days has shown me a new weapon, and it's made out of a newspaper, the Millwall hammer.
It's impressive weapon.
Dangerous stuff.
Creativity.
Speaking
and
of
all you need is a newspaper.
Speaking of dangerous, your WTF?
Oh, well, there's a couple of honourable mentions. First off, Api Carousel, that kick.
What are the touch judges, though?
What is it?
The post. Yeah.
Mate.
It's a pretty simple one. Yeah.
If we lose by 2 points.
About the touchies, though?
I know. Well,
just having a guess.
I think they were just thinking it was going over.
Yeah.
I can forgive the touchies. You can't forgive Appy. Liverpool and Arsenal both losing overnight.
Oh, you have to bring that up, Jimmy.
Premiership race is basically over.
Pretty funny.
Point behind?
Mate, it's done.
City's still got Tottenham. We need Ange to do us a favour. I'm an Arsenal man.
He got his... they got their backsides handed to them. Newcastle on the weekend. Keep going.
Bayer Leverkusen win their first ever German championship. Like, they're flying the story of Alonso. But my WTF moment is this.
Look at this. Holloway just told them. See it right here. Oh, big connection late. Oh,
like, that was insane. So
BMF, tell us what that means.
I think
baddest mother.
Yeah. Clucker.
Fudger.
Yeah. I got things mixed up. I thought Gaethje was leading on points, but it was Holloway was leading on points. But for him to risk it, like, he hasn't, if he knows he's done, like, if he knows he's winning. Like,
go run.
By time, kick the ball into touch and walk to the scrum. And, go down with a cramp.
Take
and
some time off the clock.
Can I just have a quick word? Captain's challenge it, whatever you want to do. Just get the clock down. But he's swinging for the back fence. And Yeah, it's high risk. I mean,
he is mad, Max Holloway. Oh. So he Volkanovski's beaten him a couple of times. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah,
but he's got a chin of granite.
Yeah. Well, producer Charlie White was telling us about a person that had Holloway as part of the last leg of a large multi with a significant payout.
Yeah.
On points.
Oh no.
And obviously won by TKO.
Oh wow. UFC, Reedy, have you heard this doing the rounds as well? I think Buzz reported on, or someone from your publication reported on.
Manly.
No, UFC and NRL.
That was Peter Bedell.
Big fight night over there.
Peter Bedell, yeah.
They want to
there's some talk about them forming some long term joint venture as part of the Vegas experience. So
similar clientele.
They tried to get that done. They tried to actually do that this year. I think they wanted Volkanovski to fight.
Yep.
So they were going to have a week where Volkanovski fought, Timmy Zhu fought, and none of it came together because it all happened so late. But this year they've got a long lead in, right? So they can organise that sort of stuff. They've got a really good relationship with the UFC. The team's trained at the Performance Center over there in Vegas.
Have a bit of mail as well about Vegas.
What do you got?
You got your mail later on.
Can you whisper it to me and I'll...
Before I get... Yeah, Cowboys.
In they're going?
No.
Pulled out?
Don't want it, apparently.
Okay.
I don't know what's happened, but apparently you can put a line through them as far as Vegas goes. But
I think it's Penrith, Melbourne.
And then they're shopping around.
Canberra, maybe?
I'm pretty sure
the Raiders connection. Actually, I need to check.
Someone
on
was
that,
telling
Adam.
Me Brisbane had a high proportion of the fans that travel. And you guys would have noticed it when you're over there.
Dolphins.
So they want to.
Doesn't want to go. Oh, Wayne's not the coach next year, though, is he?
They want
to. So South
big fan boy.
Gold Coast.
Big fan base team from Sydney
Gold
going.
Coast,
So they're looking around for that. Okay. Anyway,
just with that, obviously, there's been some teams have campaigned to go.
Mm.
Well, some of them you've got to go. At some point, teams are going to have to go.
Maybe.
They've all, at the moment, the issue is working out who's the home team and who's the away team. That's what's holding it up. They've got no problem getting four teams.
Yeah.
It's who's going to give up their home game because they've got contracts with stadiums and things like that.
I think that's why North Queensland were reluctant to get involved. So Penrith are definitely going because they don't have a stadium.
And I think
next year.
Melbourne are definitely going.
Is there cause for...
It's just whether they go as home or away team.
When's the Super League start? About the same time, is it? March?
It's a little earlier.
A little earlier?
I think there would be an appetite to
take... Why don't they take a Super League game over there as well?
Well, I think that's one of the things Volandi and Abdo are looking at. There was
what would be the best game to take in terms of getting fans over there as well?
Well, traditionally, St. Helens travel well, Wigan travel well, Hull, Leeds, Warrington, one of the big dogs.
Okay.
I think they're going to take a women's game over as well. I think.
Well, that's hard because there's no women's comp. There's state premierships going on.
Yeah, maybe I made that up. I don't know.
There was definitely rumours over there because they did that combine over there. But
the Super League idea is a good idea.
Plenty of English fans. What's the time zone like,
Jimmy, though?
That's right.
England, if you play a game in Vegas,
you have to play a night game.
Jeez, I'm struggling to figure that out.
No, you'd have to play it like probably at about midday.
Could
Vegas
you go
time?
4, 6, 8?
Because it'll be a night time. Yeah, you could definitely play. That could be the first game.
Yeah.
And that'd be
4, 6, 8.
Middle of the night. I think it's about 9 hours or something like that. That time of year. So, yeah. Charlie's telling us it would be like 6 a.m. if 3 p.m.
Oh, so, okay. So that'd
be... 6 a.m. where? Okay.
So that'd be you couldn't do that. They'd have to be the last game.
Yeah.
Because the 8 p.m. game was... 3 p.m.
No, they're America is behind England, so you would need if you had a game at midday in America, that would be like 8 o'clock at night.
Yes,
in England,
would it?
Yes,
is that right?
It would be. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay,
I have been over there in England watching the start of a golf tournament at about 8 o'clock.
That would work.
My WTF.
Yeah, what do you got?
I went to the races on Saturday Arvo. Thankfully missed swearing at the television Manly.
Box somewhere we were.
Correct.
Oh,
and I watched
PVL box?
A horse, an area provided by PVL.
Oh, well done.
Great buffet. Pride of Jenny. Did you hear about this?
I've seen this, but what's it about?
She led by 40 lengths halfway through the race. 40. She was like...
How far was the race?
2,000 metres. She was 100 metres in front.
She's
coming
just
around
flying
the home
out the
turn.
Blocks, has she?
Yeah, what he did, it's smart. Like, usually you look at horse racing, the fastest 600 metres of the race is the last 600 of the race. What's he done? He's made it the midsection the fastest, and they couldn't catch her. So
she won.
She won.
By much or?
Yeah. 7 lengths.
Wow.
Yeah.
I did see that. You know, I saw the story saying, and then I saw the photo, and I didn't bother reading on.
That was a WTF moment.
There's a good one.
Yours was a WTF moment. Yours was a WTF moment. Mm. Great nominations through the week as
Cop that, Woodsy.
Woodsy.
Best nominations of all time and you're not here.
WTF moment of the week. Woodsy not being able to read his messages properly. JD, still got a job. They go into the bye, and it looks like they were satisfied. This is a weird one, wasn't it? Because of the manner of the defeat and the effort put in, the application showed by those in a South jersey, it means Jason Demetri keeps his job.
He's not out the woods,
dot, for now.
For now, yeah. Yep.
Still weird.
They play Melbourne, Penrith. Yeah. So
Melbourne on Anzac night.
If they don't perform but win, does JD go?
If they don't perform, but are you saying it's a flip side of
they play they like win, crap and win.
They lose.
And if they jag the result,
we can't. How can you can't sack him after he wins a game?
Well, what's more important? Is it a performance based?
I mean, if they lose, if you wait till those two games and they lose them both and they're 1-7, your season's over. Let's be honest. So you might as well let him finish the season out. Well, what's the?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they're obviously trying to get Wayne. That's pretty clear from everything everyone said and read. So I don't know. I just think you just leave him there and let him see what he does. Give him a chance to, you know, if they are going to get Wayne, give him a chance to show other teams that he can be a really good first grade coach.
He was pretty combative, wasn't he, at that press conference late last week, but then a little more open and, with his words after the match. It seemed like he was stealing himself.
I'm told what annoyed him at that press conference where he walked out after 27 seconds was he was being asked about how you feel and your family. And then the next question was, are you coaching for your career? And he's like, so 1 minute you're asking me about my family and how my family are. And the next you're asking me whether I'm coaching for my career. And he thought, well, bugger you. I'm going. I don't need this crap.
So he gets fined if he doesn't do that press conference.
Yes. Do you love that?
Sorry?
Seduce and betray.
It's Jimmy's view.
It's Jimmy's media tactic.
Seduce and betray.
Yeah. Jimmy's theory on the media. Seduce and betray.
Sounds like one of those things that you flick straight through on Netflix. It's on the description of this, like,
so say for
romantic
Reedy,
comedy thriller type situation.
Reedy would say, oh, hey, James, how are you going? You must be really happy here. And then just like, so you're nice and relaxed, you're seduced, and then bang, I'm going to betray you and hit you with the hard question. And you go, oh,
yeah.
What? That's,
So role play is like, oh, James, oh, great to see you, mate. How is everything? Yeah. You get out and have a coffee this morning,
and also talk you up with some nice questions.
Yeah, you're playing really well. What about your offload game? It's looking really. And then next one, do you reckon your coach is going to get the sack for being the prick?
Yeah, and really go
Jimmy,
into.
Can you not give our secrets away, please? Players listen to this. Coaches listen. Please, you're ruining us.
Is this a tactic?
No,
you use
I like to be up. I'm pretty upfront these days. I think that's it's a thing you do when you're early in your career.
Mm.
I think were you get to a point where you can be quite...
Were you at that Jason Demetri press conference?
No.
Long way to go for 27 seconds.
I know.
Wherever
you
are. You
know what? Long way to go, but you get a great story out of it because it was a great story, right?
Ends up
for the media, it's a great story. Mm. Storming out of a press conference after 27 seconds.
And also, he didn't have to answer any questions about Damien Cook, which would have been coming.
Yep. Did it work? No,
well,
Cook.
They played better, right? I mean, they obviously dug in, had a go for him, and they played better than they have been, and so on the basis of that, you'd say, probably did have the desired effect.
It gets worse though for South in terms of who they play. Totola injured, Host and Murray failed HIAs. Mm-hmm. They have the bye, so
they're okay by that.
They don't miss a medical suspension, but they'll still need to pass.
I think it's 11 days on the dot, isn't it? Their next game.
I think that's okay. You can play on the 11th day. So you can play on the 11th day. So that'd be okay to play.
It is Thursday, isn't it? Yeah, it is.
12 days. Okay. Yeah. So, I mean, it's a tough job, that one, though.
It's
really
it's,
tough.
It's so Melbourne. Weird because it feels like they're just drifting in the wind at the moment. Oh, there's the Mal thing. I'm not saying. Mal's not saying anything.
Well, Mel's pulled out now. Mel pulled out on Saturday night. Basically said, I'm not in if I've got to give up the Australian job. And he won't be able to do both. You can't do both.
Why not?
Because it's a conflict of interest.
Why?
Because what happens at the end of the year, or if he picks Cam Murray and Damien Cook and other blokes in his Australian team?
But there's a selection panel, though.
Yeah, but Mel has a lot of say. A lot of say in that selection room. Like, well, most of the say.
He's not going to pick anyone that's not worthy of a selection.
No.
Well, but, and also,
but it's the perception.
But if he takes over in an interim position, then he's not coaching them after. There's no conflict of interest.
Yeah, he's not
so
the coach.
He would not be the coach of South Sydney come the time of the
international
games.
No, but it's the perception that he's been involved with these guys. And
I get the perception, but it's Mel. Mm. It's not like some guy who's just.
I'm not the one making the call. I'm just telling you that that's a view from head office they see it as a conflict of interest, and he could potentially step away from his Australian job for this year, and then come back and do it next year. And maybe a guy like Brad Fittler takes over the Australian job for one.
But what if he does a great job and then
it's Mel's job. But yeah. Mel made it pretty clear on the weekend he won't give up the Australian job. So, and the way he spoke about the club, I would be very surprised if there was still. Because the interest in Mel was from not everyone at the clubs. The issue at South for the moment is not everyone's on the same page.
Yeah.
There's a bit of a power struggle going on. Some people reached out to Mel without certain people's knowledge. And not everyone's on the same page there.
That tells you everything. Mm.
Yeah,
if that's the
off
case.
Field, it's going to detonate at some point, South. Yeah. Soon.
What in terms of the structure of ownership of making the decisions?
Who's making the decisions? Yeah.
Who is making the decisions as of now? So if JD is to go, whose call is that?
Well, a lot of people will tell you it's Russell. But Russell's now only a 25% owner of that footy club. Yeah. Mike Cannon-Brookes owns 25%. James Packer owns 25%. And the members own 25%. So a lot of people will tell you Russell will make the decision.
He's in Budapest.
I think he's coming back, actually.
Oh, he's coming back from Budapest.
Then, he's finished his movie.
Is it not the CEO's job? Is that not why you appoint a CEO? To make a recommendation to the board?
To the board, yeah. And so this is the issue, right? You've got, in one corner, you've got this perception that Russell's the one making all the decisions.
Mm.
And the other corner, you've got people saying that's not the way you run a footy club.
Yeah.
You don't have a 25% owner making calls on coaching futures and who should come in an interim capacity. So this is what's going on behind the scenes at the moment.
Mm.
And at some point, I would think in the next couple of weeks, this will be resolved one way or the other.
Okay. Well, that leads us beautifully into our next little part. Mm.
Read about it. Read about it. Reedy's Mail.
It's almost an extension of Reedy's Mail right there.
Bit of good news, actually, for Manly. They've got a lot of players out this week. Benny Trbojevic is out with a hamstring problem. Toe Sipley's out with a knee problem.
Yep.
Josh Allo is suspended. Matt Lodge is back. Will be back this week for his first game.
That means Woodsy won't play.
No, they've got so many out. Woodsy might get a start.
Woodsy might get a start.
But Matty Lodge hasn't played. He did his knee last year. He had a major knee reconstruction. But he is doing media tomorrow, and he will be in the team this week. So
not through New South Wales Cup.
Straight back in the NRL team.
Straight up.
Straight back to take on Desi and the Titans. So a bit of good news for Manly because, as I said, they've got a few out this week. Parramatta.
Mm-hmm.
A lot going on at Parramatta at the moment. We did a bit last week on young Ethan Sanders, the halfback.
Yep.
Today's the day he can start talking to other clubs. Today's the day Blaise Talangi can start talking to other clubs as well, the young kid who's had a start. I believe Canberra will put an official offer to Ethan Sanders today, young halfback at Para. They got high hopes for him.
How old's Jamal Fogarty?
I think he's early 30s, isn't he?
Oh, so he's not got like 5-6 years left or anything like that, because is he not going somewhere where there's a clear number 7 all of a sudden,
he is,
he's going to park himself
behind
there.
The idea is there's a succession plan in place with Ethan Sanders. He's 30, Jamal. He's playing really good footy, actually. So that is a good point. But, I expect them to put a formal offer to Ethan Sanders today, and then it'll be up to...
Sorry, just for, like, we're giggling, because Charlie is like the ring card girl at a UFC fight at the moment. About 5 times during the show, he's held up information for us on his sheet. He's
such as Jamal Fogarty's age.
He's the worst-looking ring card girl I've ever seen in my life, but it's very much appreciated.
And I reckon I wouldn't be surprised if Ethan Sanders requests a release this week. Now, Canberra, they're happy to buy their time. They're not putting any pressure on Parra to release him. they're happy to wait and get him at the end of the season, but yep. we'll have to see how that plays out. Blaise Talang is a really interesting one. He's got an option in his contract for next year, but as I said, he can officially talk to other clubs from today. It's worth keeping an eye on it because I think he's going to get a few offers,
mm-hmm.
and we have to see how it plays out. I think Parramatta are really confident they're going to keep him, but you know, we'll see what happens on that front. Jaden Sewer, outstanding yesterday for the Dragons. I checked with Dragons officials after the game yesterday. So he has an offer on the table. He's had an offer on the table for a long time, and he backed himself to go out. I don't think his camp or him were they thought maybe the offer was below market value.
Mm.
So Jaden's held off on that deal, and he wanted to show people at the Dragons he was worth more. And he's probably done that the last couple of weeks. But at the same time, he's also sort of reignited interest from other clubs. So I think the Dragons got a bit of a fight in their hands for Jaden Sewer.
Really?
Yeah, to keep him. And again, that's one I reckon is going to be resolved in the next couple of weeks. So
Dolphins?
Well, they're in for the young fellow at the Cowboys. I went to check on that today. I'm not sure what's happened with that. I think the Cowboys is a bit of an issue because the Tomalolo thing, I think, is sort of dragging on a bit. Mm. And
Dave Feeder's about to go on the market, isn't he, as well?
No, I think Dave's going to stay. Dave's going to stay, yeah. I think Dave just wanted to play some footy and get back on the park. But my understanding is Dave's management haven't spoken to any other clubs. They know Canberra have a long-standing interest in him.
Yeah.
But I think Dave will stay in the end just because he's comfortable on the Gold Coast. But maybe Canberra might look at Jaden Sewer. They were looking at Dave. Maybe Canberra's a club. I was trying to spitball teams that need an edge back rower today.
Melbourne...
They don't have the cash for Dave.
They don't
for Jaden, sorry. They don't have the cash. Don't? No, not at all. No.
I suppose they've got that big four again forming.
Yeah, and Nelson's on big money down there, and he's back in first grade this week, Nelson. So
he is back.
He's back this definitely. Week. He got pulled out of New South Wales Cup in the weekend. They've got some injuries. He'll play first grade this week. So, there's a couple of guys there we've got to keep an eye on. And Sonia Taruva, his agent was meeting Penrith today about his future. He's got an offer from the Dragons. He's met the Knights. He toured their facilities last week. And his agent was going to meet Penrith today to work out where Penrith stood, what they could offer him. And then they make a decision reasonably soon on whether he leaves Penrith or stays at the Panthers and takes less money to stay.
There you go. It's a bumper edition of your mail.
Big
mailbag.
Yeah.
Outstanding. James Graham, thank you for that.
Pleasure, as always.
Look forward to you continuing the game of tennis you're playing with Peter Fitzsimons through the week. So
oh, yes.
Have a good one. And Brent Reed, thank you, mate.
I'm looking forward to that too. That's gold.
Same. That's with Monday Scrum, everyone. Have a great week.
Triple M Footy lives on Listener, thanks to McDonald's and Ream Hot Water.